Okay, hello guys. Today we have our guest, new guest in our podcast. Generally, we will invite more people to talk about stress, to talk about other things, how they manage work and different stuff. Today we have Alexei Sidorov. Alexei, say hello.
Hi guys.
He used to be an AI resident in Facebook AI, also worked in multiple places during his career, was a research intern in the University of Oxford, also has three simultaneous master degrees, and now he works at a new startup called Suggestor.co, which works with Shopify and focuses on like helping you buy things and stuff like that. But Alexei is much better to talk about his startup than me, so we'll get right to that. First of all, I would like to ask you like a general probably question for a person who got a career in somewhat, not computer science exactly, but a person who is in the sphere of computer science and everything connected with IT technologies and stuff like that. How did your passion for computers begin at all?
Passion for computers is a very interesting question. I never thought about it in this way. I got my computer, my first computer, very late, you know, when all my friends had computers already. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, very long time I was just like very boldly going to my friends' places just to use their computer. Maybe that was the start where I felt that like, yeah, I need this thing.
Yeah, but was it like you went to your friends, just like, did you specifically start with coding, or maybe you just used a computer as a basic stuff for your homeworks, mm-hmm. for like playing games and stuff like that, or just coding was your thing from the beginning?
Yeah, I mean, to keep it short, I said that I never considered myself a coder, and even now I don't think that I'm a good coder.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I never did like software engineering kind of intentionally or like get any courses on that. It was just minimal, yeah, like just a very minimal kind of understanding of like the basic, like for science mostly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and even still, like I can't overcome it. I mean, I still don't feel that I know like anything about coding.
It's very humble from you, like being the professional you are, to tell that you're like not very competent, or maybe like you don't know everything. But I guess it's still like the base is there. Not everyone just like has been working at Facebook as an AI specialist. So, but despite having this like the urge to go to your friends to use a computer, I guess because I know that in the past there weren't that much of computers at schools. Was it like something that you had in school so you could like work during or after hours at school and stuff like that?
I was this way. Like I didn't use computers for work. It was mostly for entertainment.
For entertainment, yeah, I get it. As for most of us, clearly. But being like now in this computer sphere, and was it like, can you like spot some differences in you from other students that were like clear in school maybe or university? Because I know that not everyone pursues such a career.
Differences in a way that why I'm more related to like computer science.
Yeah, generally like to computer science and like maybe about your persistency, because I know that you've got like, as I mentioned before, three master degrees, which is to be clear, pretty much insane for me. Still, how do you keep up with it? How do you come up with like going for that?
I think they were like a good part of ambition, which I still cannot explain, you know. Where ambition comes from and why do we have it? I think it's a big question. Like I always felt like that. Kind of. I mean, I think we all feel that we are special, right? That like
mm-hmm.
I'm here like for a reason. I need to be the best. Like I'm not here just to be like the regular one, right? And like to go like to the same like factory where my dad worked, right? So I have this ambition, which I can't fully explain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if I think about it logically, actually, I would explain opposite, that like we are expected to be in the environment where we were born and like in the place where we which we're supposed to have, but somehow this ambition is still there. And you know, even though people say like it's generally bad, I think that envy, you know, just being jealous, was a very strong driver for anything I did. And like seeing successful people, you know, seeing people of my age, you know, being kind of more successful. I don't know, for some reason it's kind of, it's painful, you know, it's fearful. It makes you, you know, want to do something with it.
Yeah, I think it would be like best described as you wanted to stand out when you were a kid, because like to be better than everyone, probably.
I think probably it were more like not to stand out, but you know, like at least to keep, you know, to keep up with others.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe more like that. You know, just that I saw some examples, you know, of others which were like, you know, you always have these examples which are like much more successful, you know, whenever you are, and like which would, whatever is your position, you always have these examples, and like this, you know, the son of the mom's friend, which is like very successful, right?
Yeah, something like that.
But so it's always there, you know, and at least I didn't want to be like in the end, you know, in the bottom kind of quartile.
Yeah, nobody wants that. But can you, like, despite being ambitious about that, would you say that your main motivation in this case would be just like to be was like looking up to those people around you who were already somewhat successful at their age, and you just wanted to be like them or be better even?
I mean, not only to people, you know, not looking to the people of my age, also looking to the people who are much older, you know, who get somewhere in life. Yeah, I know, I just look at them and I saw that I want to be there.
Yeah, this is very inspiring. About master's degrees, because I generally find it very fascinating that you have like three master degrees. I know that you've studied physics in Ukraine, also, okay. Yeah, also worked at Oxford University as a research intern. How just like how does one person do all those things?
Yeah, I think that, you know, the master degree was the time when my ambition like picked up, you know, kind of was at the its maximum. Also, I don't know why. Maybe because, you know, after physics, you know, I switched a bit to more like applied computer science, and everything suddenly became, you know, so much more interesting, you know, so much more useful, so much like easier also, and like, you know, it generally went well, you know, like knife in the butter. And yeah, so I saw that I can do a lot of things. I can do them better than others. And yeah, basically, you know, I doubled down on that. But for the masters, actually, yeah, there is not much of a secret there. Actually, not much of my achievement, I think, because it's like just the program which I attended. Actually, anyone can do it. You know, there is such thing as Erasmus joint master degree. Mm-hmm. There are like maybe around 100 of them of different, very different specialties, like in computer science, like in manufacturing, in fashion, like in wine, in tourism, like whatever you can imagine. And yeah, the specific of those programs is that they usually created by a consortium of at least three universities. So it's kind of normal for students to attend like different university at different semester of their study, and in result you get like a few diplomas.
Yeah, do like a year abroad and gain experience.
Yeah, but it's more that the whole program is abroad, but it's like you don't have kind of home university. You're always abroad, and like just you combine these different pieces in one program.
Mm-hmm. But was it like stressful at all? Because switching career path, I would say, or switching specialty when you're still young can be quite stressful. How did you deal with that, and were you like stressful at all?
I'm pretty sure it was stressful a bit, you know, especially it was my first time living abroad. Seriously, yeah. Before I only was born and grown in Ukraine. Never even like traveled, and here I am like going to stay abroad, like to live in Europe for 2 years. So it was some stressful, but I think in general it was quite interesting, and it wasn't like super difficult. You know, especially like, this kind of new specialty was not super difficult for me, because like most of those things kind of already new or kind of it was intuitive to understand. Language was the largest kind of barrier, because the most stressful thing. But yeah, over time you get over it.
Yeah, you get used to it. Did you miss your home during those times? Was it like a burden to you?
I think I was quite happy to be, you know, like in France, not in Ukraine.
Like new world, new life, yeah? Something like that.
I don't know. My feelings to home now, they changed over time. Because initially I was like very happy to like run away and like to have a new kind of better life. Now I see, you know, now I have like more kind of clear vision and able to see the pros and cons of like other countries, of other cultures, you know, and able to see the pros and like why would I want to be like back to Russian speaking kind of community and Russian speaking country.
Yeah, makes sense. Well, it's really like interesting to me generally when people move to other countries, because as you mentioned, language barrier is always there to overcome. Probably it's easier in English speaking countries than in others. Did you make like connections, friends, and did you meet people in generally while you were there, and did it help you at all?
Not much, to be honest, because yeah, in English-speaking countries it's a bit easier, but still, you know, for me, like, the cultural difference feels a lot. And all the best friends I made during this time, they were like Russian-speaking, you know, like from Ukraine or Russia. Mm-hmm. Because with locals, and especially, yeah, it's difficult even in English-speaking countries, but in non-English-speaking countries like France or Spain or Norway, yeah, like you're too different. I feel, you know, like Russian is too different. And even now, like I'm in Singapore, right? And all the Asian people, I mean, they're nice people, and like.
But you just don't get along very well, yeah.
Just so different, because like the interests are different, like priorities are different, like time spent is different. It just doesn't work so well.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. But I hope, like with time, everything will be better with that.
The interesting thing here is usually it works better, you know, even with the people from different cultures, but if you all international, kind of, for example, international students.
Like you're all coming, like this country is foreign for all of you, then you're like, click on that.
Yeah, like you're kind of all strangers there, like it's not, and even if the people like different, they're still kind of more similar to you than the people who are like native in this country. And actually, that's the same even here, like in Singapore, because now my like circle of my communication is, no one really Russian speaking, mm-hmm. mostly international guys. But since we are all here international, yeah, we have, you know, a lot in common.
Okay, that's nice to hear. About Facebook, I know you're probably tired talking about that, but can you like shed a light on what did you do exactly at Facebook AI? Because it's like, for some, you can say that it's a very, probably one of the greatest places you can end up if you're into programming, into machine learning and AI in general.
Yeah, I mean, sure, I'm happy to talk about that. Yeah, just don't ask me for referral or like how to get a job in Facebook AI, because like it's a classic question.
It's a secret.
No, not secret. Just like that, you can find it like online. Just there is no secret, you know. And like no point to asking like everyone about it. For me, it was so I was in Facebook AI research, so which is their like academic kind of lab, so like special department which don't do like applied products or like any solving applied problems, but more like research environment. Where people work just like in academia, you know, writing papers, going to the conferences.
Researching in general, yeah?
Yeah, just like doing research. And yeah, and people who come and go from there, you know, the people not from like big companies, the people just from universities. Mm-hmm. So it was, yeah, I mean, for me, it was also like part of my job. It's just like in any, you can imagine PhD student, right, and his job. So that was pretty much what I did. Like developing some new algorithms, working in a team, you know, like doing kind of some new projects, collecting data sets, you know, doing some, we run a challenge, we wrote a paper, you know, we published the papers, like all this stuff. Yeah, it was there.
Yeah, well, general like research work. But was it like challenging for you at all? Because you mentioned that previous like work experience wasn't as hard. Was this one?
Like, yeah, I think actually in Facebook it was quite stressful. Because, I was doing quite well in my master. Everything was quite easy for me, and like I felt very aspiring. But at Facebook, yeah, it was very different. You know, actually, I realized that I don't know like a thing. Like, everyone was better. You know, I felt that like even, you know, like ladies in cafeteria, like you know, better than me in what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, I don't know how did I, you know, how have I got here, you know, how it happened that I'm in, and I don't know anything. And so before I felt like I know everything.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. It's not like I didn't know something. I knew some stuff, just that, you know, the angle from which you look at it, you know, but before I look at what I know and I saw that I know everything, but then I look at the same thing and I understand that I don't know, like, nothing.
Yeah.
So it was quite stressful. Actually, it was quite a hard time. And you know, for me, it took quite a while to understand that, like, I mean, it was interesting because it initiated my kind of inner kind of discussion about, yeah, is it what I want to do? Am I good at it? Will it change over time? Right? Like, do I want to change? Do I want to get better in it?
Yeah, those doubts can be, like, very common when you're, with like you're working at a very challenging environment, but did like Facebook have something to help with those stress? Like, could you relax during work or just like basically? From my understanding, as you mentioned, it was pretty stressful. But does the company like actually care about the stress that you endure? Do they help with that? Maybe like some extra classes, a person that you can rely on to explain mm-hmm. you new stuff and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think, I mean, if you look from like outside, the environment wasn't much stressful because like, yeah, any production team has much tougher time, you know, doing what they do and like have much stricter requirement. For us, it was like, yeah, you know, university, you know, some creativity, like, you know, let's do that, let's do this, let's try new things. Like, if it doesn't work, okay, it doesn't work. You know, nobody really loses money on that if something doesn't work. So the environment itself wasn't too stressful, you know, for people who like that, you know, who know what they are doing, actually was all right. And by itself, you know, Facebook has very and very like employee friendly environment, a lot of different benefits, like, you know, like free food and like gyms at work, bicycles, like different happy hours, like meetings with Mark. What else? Actually, I mean, the culture collection, but yeah, like a lot of different benefits, and I also include like some different transportation, like insurance, like help with housing, you know. So they do, I think, you know, the best what they can to help you accommodate and like to not feel any like pressure or any stress outside of work, you know, and just do your work well and to be able to concentrate on your work.
Yeah, sounds very caring from them. You mentioned meeting Mark, so you actually met Mark Zuckerberg.
I think they're like, no, not like individually, but there are weekly meetings. Like, I think it's in most of the companies, kind of all hands, you know, and all this stuff, where you can, meet senior people, and like, they present updates for the company and answer like questions.
Ah, so basically like general stuff that.
Yeah, like.
The managers can keep up with what's happening.
Yeah, but actually, interestingly, when you ask, I think that we had like around 2 weeks of onboarding, which also now kind of supposed to be very helpful and kind of to smooth the transition, mm-hmm. and it helped us on board. And in the end, there was like even one meeting for all the kind of new hires with Shrep, with like CTO.
Yeah.
At Facebook. Yeah. I think now he's not CTO anymore, but yeah, also it was quite interesting to meet those people, you know, like here, like in front of you.
Generally, sounds like it was a pretty comfortable environment with a lot of benefits, and the job just generally, you sounds like you enjoyed it. Did you enjoy it as much?
I would say so, yeah. And you're right, it's a very comfortable environment. I'm not sure if it's too comfortable. It's like after some time, I felt that like, I felt like I'm, you know, 40 years old, you know, like just working, you know, thinking how much money I will have if I continue just working like this, you know, like for 5 years, you know, what can I buy? Like, you know, if I just save money and then like, just doing like my job day to day and like coming home and like, it was a very weird feeling, to be honest. I can't say that I enjoyed it. Yeah, for me, it felt a bit wrong. It was like, a bit too comfortable.
So it was just like you were the victim of the routine, which wasn't like as fun as you expected it to be or something like that, yeah?
Yeah, might be. Maybe also combined with with the fact that I felt myself like, you know, imposter, like being there without knowing a thing. Maybe, you know, if you do like really stuff which you like in such comfortable environment, maybe it actually, you know, can resonate with each other, you know, and amplify each other. It actually can be a great time. So I wouldn't quote myself on that because it's my kind of my personal experience.
Yeah. Would you state that it was basically this routine and that probably lack of motivation as the reason why you left?
Might be. I mean, it was one of the reasons. Because, yeah, I didn't have much motivation to develop more in this sphere. And then suddenly, kind of, I hit the ceiling of, you know, where I can be, mm-hmm. right? And this ceiling was not too impressive. You know, when I saw all these people whom I admired before, you know, some different great scientists working there, and it's like, now I look at them, what they're doing, you know, and they, just fairly, they were doing like the same thing which I was doing. And I was like, you know, but then to get into their position, I had to go like back to school to do PhD like for 4 to 6 years and then try to get in such kind of good company to do research, you know, and all for what? I just look at them and understood that like, yeah.
And be like them, be like that person. Yeah.
Like their motivation and their incentive was like really not too exciting for me.
Yeah, makes sense. About your new project, Suggestor.co. Can you tell us a bit about it?
Yeah, sure. So in Suggestor, what we do, I felt this urge to apply this knowledge and the skills which I had, you know, to real world problems. Because I saw that, like, you know, there are so many opportunities in research, you know, being like of great algorithms which are not used anywhere. So I wanted to apply it. And we found a very interesting problem and very interesting niche in e-commerce. Because, you know, all people know this recommendation section, like you might also like, right? Which is at the bottom, you have the products. And like they seem to be like working fairly well, you know, in general recommendations. Like very smart because you have them like in Instagram, like in Facebook, in TikTok. They seem to be like very smart and solid. But actually, yeah, for e-commerce, it's very basic algorithms and they work only if you have a lot of data. You know, and they're like super, super basic algorithms. And apart from like big companies like Amazon, which has like advanced stuff and do like a lot of advanced research. But for majority of these, like, you know, just usual online stores, yeah, they don't have nothing. You know, and we saw this opportunity that actually, yeah, we can bring like real power of machine learning and AI there and actually empower them, you know, to make the session work for them and generate money, you know, and by that being more competitive with giants of like marketplaces.
Yeah, well, basically everyone would pay a fortune right now to have a great recommendation system that suits for your clients.
So yeah, and surprisingly, you know, it's such a big problem that people don't even realize how much they, what the opportunity they miss on. You know, like they use some kind of garbage recommendations, and like they are fine with that. They don't even understand that it could be any better. You know, so that's why like we have this educational element when we try to sell it.
Yeah, this also. But if you, because I know that, because it's a startup right now. The work at startup can be, as I know, very exhausting and stressful. Wasn't it like scary to move on from the, all that comfort to drop into this stressful environment where nothing basically is guaranteed to you?
Yeah, of course, it was stressful. And, you know, it's not like I moved to a startup and I had like a confirmed idea and some like investments to work on it. Right? I moved, you know, into nothing. Actually, you know, when I started doing like, I just, you know, left Facebook. I didn't have, you know, it was some time before Suggest. I have some ideas, you know, but I didn't have any team, didn't have any co-founder, didn't have like almost like, you know, any connections to investor or any people, you know, in the industry who would help. And yeah, it was an interesting time when I just started kind of hustling, you know, trying to do something, you know, whatever I can do. And at the time, it was, you know, a few interesting projects which I tried to do, which like successfully failed. You know, like we did a mobile app, like with deepfakes. Mm-hmm. I did platform for searching kind of English speaking partners for practice. Language practice. Mm-hmm. So we try to do like some, you know, decoding of brain signals with AI. Then I also did like educational course in AI. I also started a Telegram channel with like AI news and some like, yeah, you know, content kind of creation. Like really kind of quite random stuff, but I mean, all of that at that point looked to me as a great idea. And, you know, I tried to catch like, whatever idea I had, whatever I could do with my expertise and my knowledge.
So you just basically pursued anything, like, because you didn't have a stable job at the time?
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to try to create something, you know. I think that was the single goal. It's like not to, you know, just to feel how is it, you know, and how it works when you create something from nothing. And it was like that for a solid maybe like 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and you can imagine. And also at the time, you know, was very interesting that I had very big issues with productivity and on my motivation to work. So basically, it was very like, you know, strange time when I left my job, you know, to do kind of what I want to do. Right.
Yes.
But at the same time, I didn't want to do anything. You know, I didn't want to work, to sit, like to write content or to, you know.
So you generally had like a lack of motivation to do stuff at the time.
Yeah. I think it was like, you know, some form of burnout. And actually, I, you know, for me, this 6 months was pretty much like, how you call it? There's English word for that.
It wasn't like hell, but it was bad, yeah?
So I really had a hard time like during the 6 months pushing myself to work. And you know, actually, if you look, you know, these 6 months for me was like a sabbatical. And I really regret that I pushed myself to work at this time. Because ideal sabbatical, you know, is when you let yourself like relax and like not push yourself to do anything and just, you know, find out what you want to do, right? Like you just come up with all this energy and like see where you want to direct it. And sabbaticals, they're very strong. I read one newsletter, you probably know that from Lenny's newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one like episode about sabbaticals. And there's a whole kind of science around it, you know, but basically, you know, people say that no one ever regretted taking sabbatical. It's like, it's very difficult at first, because you, you know, how is it like you don't work, you know, everyone is working, everyone progressing their careers, and you are just sitting here doing nothing.
Yeah, and so much time to yourself.
You kind of, you know, you kind of feel lazy, feel useless, you know, whatever you can feel. But yeah, this time it actually goes away, and you can actually start enjoying this time. And yeah, you know, and project of a sabbatical is around like from 6 to 12 months. Like, you know, the whole year you do nothing.
Well,
you need some kind of money, and like, yeah, it has some cost to do it, but it's very valuable time, you know, and like arguably this time you should take for yourself, you know, without progressing your career and growing your experience. It's actually much more useful than even like, you know, 1 year of working experience in your CV, because very likely you will want to change your whole career, whole direction like of life after that.
Well, yeah, and it also helps like to understand what else do you want to do in life and what later can be done.
I mean, it's a very nice thing actually. It's thing which helped me to some extent, but I push myself to work. You know, even though like I want to have a vacation. So after US, mm-hmm. and also was in COVID time, so most of the stuff was closed. And I wanted some like nice like tropical vacation. Yeah, the only thing which was open was like Dominican Republic. So I went to Dominican Republic for a month. I was like to stay there, kind of, you know, I thought like I could even stay there longer if I like it. Yeah, spoiler, I didn't like it. I was in Dominican Republic, you know, first time on the like real tropical climate with nice beaches, nice sea, like nice weather.
Yeah, warm water.
Yeah, and I, you know, and every day I worked actually there. I pushed myself to work, even though like I didn't really want to do it. I just had this feeling that I have to push myself, which clearly I didn't need to, like I didn't have to. But yeah, so like, I did regret this, and it's a bit ridiculous.
Well, yeah, it was supposed to be a vacation, but it turned out not to be one.
Yeah, but you know, so that was kind of this kind of stress when you leave your job and like you have nothing ahead, and you can't just relax doing nothing. You know, you have to come up with something because, you know, there is nothing in front of you. You don't know what happened next. So yeah, there is some this fear which didn't let me, didn't let me to relax fully. Yeah. But still, it was good and it was useful just to try different things, you know. Yeah, even if I worked, I tried different things and I knew like what I wanted to do, what I didn't want to do, more or less.
I would say the time that you described before your current startup, I would say because there in psychology, there's the thing that they describe like, as far as I remember, like exit syndrome or stuff like that, when you're faced with new challenge and you want to do it, but a lot of people, basically all of us, experience the thing that they want to quit it right before the successful part, and they have a hard time dealing with it because it gives them anxiety and stuff like that. Some people quit, but actually it's all just like a psychological trick in our brain. Did you have something like that during that time? Or maybe like before when you started this startup, was it like, was there a moment where you wanted to quit everything?
I mean, I had nothing to quit, to be honest. And I had nowhere to go, nowhere to go. I didn't have anything to quit. I didn't have anything basically. So I just tried to, you know, if I just stayed on the place, you know, I would stay in the same place having nothing, or I could try to progress. And yeah, work more, trying to do something, what I did.
So we're like partly desperate to make it work, I would say.
To some extent, yeah. I don't know, it really helped that I had some savings from my work at Facebook. Because I think if I wouldn't have it, then it would be like really scary, you know. Because at least I know that I have where to stay, I have what to eat. Yeah, if I wouldn't have it, it would be hardly possible for me. You know, just to
make
this
a backup plan for you.
Yeah.
What's your routine generally like nowadays? What is like, because startups can take a lot of time, as we mentioned, and like how does your day look?
Oh, my day look like shit. I wake up pretty late, you know, like maybe at 11, sometimes 12. Yeah, you know, unlike you can, you know, people think like that productive kind of entrepreneurs. Yeah, I got pretty late. I go to bed pretty late, And then I tried to go to gym. So I tried to kind of, to some extent, push myself, but also I understand that, from my experience, I just know that I cannot not do it. So I know that I will do it anyway. But yeah, so I try to go to gym in the morning, do my morning routine. Then I go to the office, like we work from co-working, like we work. So we go to WeWork, meet my co-founder, we work there. I have meetings along the day with other guys because we have remote teams, so like usually it's the kind of Zoom meetings.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, usually I have nothing, like I don't have much in the evening. I stay either at office like for longer, or I get home, you know, get some rest, and then get back to work, do my personal stuff, and I can end up in the bed like around three, so something like that.
So you get like the normal sleep, which is like
I finally sleep quite a lot, 8 hours at least, and like, you know, however I push myself. Before I was able to do it. Now, no, you know, I switch off all the alarms. Like I can't wake up earlier, even if I want.
It's not very maintainable. So sounds like not much free time to yourself as of now.
Not much free time indeed. I think that, you know, in life you don't have much free time in general. You know, I never felt that I have like, you know, free time or, you know, slots where I do nothing. Even before, you know, startups, before doing like I've been in university or been in the regular job. Yeah, I always feel that it's very surprising for me to think about how some people find free time, right? And like find some like time to do some kind of useless stuff. Because for me, like, I hardly able to catch up with, you know, all I need to do during the day, you know, like during the week.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very interesting for me.
Does like any habits that you have or maybe food preferences that help you like get through this, because I understand that in your line of work as of now you need all the energy you can have to keep up with the insane regimen that you've got yourself.
Yeah, I mean, now I try to control it even more stricter, because like, yeah, since we get our seed money, you know, it's all become more serious, and we understand that, okay, it's our chance, you know, we don't want to lose it because, you know, we are kind of wasted our health or our kind of sanity. So yeah, for now I generally try to eat healthier. I decided to stop drinking because many people say that in longer term is you lose more from it than you gain from it.
Yeah.
And what else? Yeah, I mean, of course, trying to do sports, it's very important.
Physical activity generally to be mentally stable.
Yeah,
stable.
Physical activity is very important for that.
For the last point of our like talk, are there any like advices or hints for other entrepreneurs like you who might start a startup or who are like willing to maybe they're looking for a change or do something new? Are there like anything that you would like suggest them doing?
Advices? It's very interesting. I think one of the recent observations I had is that, you know, like with experience, you know, as we get like more achievements, we get more stuff done. What really changes is not really like our skill, right, or our understanding. It's more that of kind of our borders, which we put for ourselves, they become much broader. So like you don't see these limitations which you saw before, because now you know how to do it and how to pass it. And you know, and there is no really any limitations like objectively in the world. It's just that it is on us that we think that, oh, like I'm located here, so I will never reach like that guy or this company. You know, I have to start from my kind of environment. So people like tend to think very small, and it's like it makes sense. It's reasonable, right? Because like it's you, it's easier to connect with people like in your environment.
Yeah.
It's easier to not jump like over 10 steps, but like move one step at a time. But what you get with experience is that actually you see how I can actually do this jump over 10 steps. And that is actually possible. So my general advice would be, especially for entrepreneurs, like from developing countries, to not think small and to not think of themselves as people with less opportunities or like less abilities. Maybe it's actually something my co-founder taught me, because now we reach people and even like in funds, which I would never reach myself if I would work on my own, like somewhere in Ukraine. Not because they wouldn't talk to me, just because I wouldn't allow myself to do it.
You were like afraid of that.
Yeah, like it wouldn't be even thinkable for me that it's possible. But actually it's possible. And so I now encourage people to go global, as soon as possible, not limit themselves to like local investors, local clients. Actually try to reach the best outcomes from the start.
Yeah, well, it makes sense just like to keep up with and be with broadened horizons, like look more around yourself to generally not to limit yourself. Yeah.
I mean, it's easier said than done. But I think what might help, there's just some interviews, like, or they're talking to people who done it, just to see what is the path to reach there. Like, is there really something, objectively what I miss, what I cannot do, or just myself, who don't allow to do it?
Not to think limits in general.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for your time, Alexei. It was fun talking to you. Hope that we can link up later, maybe.
Thank you. Very, very nice. Thank you for all these questions. Happy to tell more.